Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
I think there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, always.
But we did deal with quite a bit of injuries, you know. But on the defensive side of the ball, I'll go D-line and corner.
Okay.
And probably look for another guy at safety that could play that hybrid safety position.
Right. So up and down, in the box and... Okay.
Yeah. I'll go D-line. Anywhere on that D-line, I go one or two D-linemen, give me a corner. Actually, I get two corners. You always need that right there. Now I go give me another receiver.
It's Keon Coleman with Chad Ochocinco on the podcast talking about Bill's draft needs.
He's trying to double dip on the corners there.
I mean, he kind of nailed it. Two corners, two defensive linemen, another receiver.
He did say another receiver.
Yeah. Does Keon Coleman want to pull the cards for the draft class? He knows what they need. Let's get stupid. Keon Coleman makes the picks.
Just for this year. Yeah.
First, second round have not been horrible, have not been great. I'm like, turn this thing over to Keon Coleman.
Just let Keon do it.
Yeah.
This year. Just walks into the room and tells all us, we're just going to let Coleman do it this year, guys. We're just to kick your feet up. Let's see what he does. He picks a quarterback in the first round. By accident.
Yeah, right. 803-0550, our phone number. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. We got some NFL stuff going on. I just introduced the fellas they had not heard about. Josh, had you heard about the boss button?
No, I didn't know what that was.
Yeah,
I
mean, you guys did not know about the...
know about the boss button.
We kind of went through an
Owen's
history.
Actually trying to create one for the stream, but he's unsuccessful so far.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool, you know?
Why do you need the boss? How did you know about the boss button? You got a TV at work. You don't need the boss button.
Well, I mean, you know about the existence of it because and a few people on the YouTube chat have pointed out that it wasn't always on, like, the link to stream the games because, again, it goes back to, like, 1982, I guess.
Yeah.
The boss button being you click on this link and it makes it look like you're working instead of looking at your bracket. So going back to maybe ESPN had it when you looked at your bracket or Yahoo, you are trying to see how many picks you got right and you just click a button, boom. All right, I'm looking at a spreadsheet. I'm reading emails. I'm doing work. So, yeah, I mean, it was a fairly common thing. And I feel like we are not seeing the same number of stories about how many billions of dollars the country loses in productivity on a day like today with the tournament starting. But that used to be every year, you know.
Still probably true.
Yeah, I mean.
To some degree, right?
I guess. I mean. That always struck me as a story that existed to exist. A recent study, the economy loses $20 billion in productivity during March Madness.
Yeah.
40% of college basketball fans have called in sick to watch games.
There you go.
23% of fans average at least 4 hours a day watching them.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really believed that. You tell me, no.
20 billion? Or whatever the number is?
I don't believe that for a second.
I bet that's not even that big a number in relative to, like, the whole country. What number? What is 20 billion in productivity? What's productivity per day in the United States? Would be my first question. Because I want to bet 20 billion is not as big as you think it is. It's probably out of like 100 trillion.
It's just, it's always existed to exist, that number. What does nice weather cost us? A lot more?
It's
nice yesterday. People might have called in sick, might have said, I'm getting out of here early. Summer hours and Friday hours and all that, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, tournament starts today. It's exciting. 803-0550. Keon Coleman on the draft. Nailed it. He knows what they want.
He also, good on him, because that's Shannon Sharp and Chad Johnson, Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, mm-hmm. that are interviewing him. And Johnson really, and not tries to get him, but I think he could have walked Coleman into a eye-popping, like, headline type of quote, because he kind of asked him a couple of times, like, pressed him about the idea of Diggs coming back,
mm-hmm.
and Coleman, like, didn't, he did it perfectly. He didn't take the bait, but he said, like, if he comes back, I'll, like, veteran guy, but didn't say anything that would have been controversial.
No,
even though Johnson kept, like, pushing the idea, like, oh, you guys should bring Diggs back. I saw it on social media, and Coleman, like, did it pretty well. So
yeah, he said, veteran in the room, be happy to have him, something like that.
Yeah, just
lean on him for.
Yeah, and let's move on here to the next one. He nails it though, right? Like, is there a position he missed? Not really.
No, not really.
Did he say a safety? He said a safety in there, or did he not?
I don't remember if he said a safety in there. Safety is in the mix, but it's not high.
Yeah.
Right. It's. Defensive line, corner, and wide receiver.
Yeah, I was listening to his answer when I heard it yesterday and thought, oh, he's about to answer this. Is he going to say anything that could be misinterpreted as a shot at somebody? Because, like, you know, if he said running back, for instance, like, oh, Coleman doesn't like James Cook as much, or doesn't think James Cook is sticking around, for instance. Or, you know, if he had said guard, like, oh, maybe he doesn't think, what does he think of Osiris Torrance? You know, whatever. But he went to all the right positions where none of that would happen.
Well, he did say receiver.
Yeah, but doesn't everyone know that, like, they need one?
I don't know. I feel like
a body, at least.
If you're asked that question as a player, the one position, first of all,
your own room. Like, is the one you stay away from?
The very political answer is to say, we got a lot of good players. We'll see. I'm sure we'll add some more. But, I mean, to go out and go for positions and say we need help at these spots,
yeah,
whatever. Like, people that are working hard to try to make that into something could. I would say that having it said about the position you play is the least likely answer. Not that it's, again, it's not controversial, it's not wrong,
mm-hmm.
but it's the most, he's acknowledging they probably need more help in that room. And I was thinking about their pass catchers. You know, like, we know they need defensive line, and maybe it's defensive end, maybe it's linebacker depth because of Milano and the uncertainty there now. But I was thinking about what ultimately happened last year, and where they love to talk the game, everybody eats, and that's not a bad thing to spread around, do what they do. But they have also, along the way, since the season ended, built in excuses/reasons for why all these players did not put up big numbers. How come Kincaid didn't have a big year? He's hurt. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
How about Curtis Samuel? Why wasn't he a bigger part of the offense? Oh, he was hurt. Okay. Keon Coleman really fell off. Yeah, we were a little disappointed with how he came back after he was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Amari Cooper, that really didn't go the way it was supposed to go. Well, the chemistry wasn't there. It's really tough to jump in midstream and kind of just be a big part of the offense. And
he was hurt.
And he was hurt. and he got hurt,
injury,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And to me, there's a little element of just thinking about the Bills for this, where the only guy... Two guys. There are two guys that they do not explain away why they didn't do more, and that's Shakir and Mac Hollins. Everybody else, there's a reason. Well, this is why it didn't go well. And I feel like it's just worth pointing out that one of the side effects of everybody eats is that no one has big numbers. And if you're the GM, you're going to get asked why nobody has big numbers. You make that trade for Cooper, and the team gets better, and you need that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you have to answer the question why it didn't go better.
Yeah. Well, isn't there reacting to all of that kind of a signal that they wanted it? They probably wanted it to look a little different. They wanted it to be a little different in that if so many guys individually fell short of their expectation, and that is by what they invested in them, right? Like they gave Samuel a multi-year contract. They put a second-round pick into Coleman. They put a first-round pick into Kincaid. Like their plan was for all three of those guys especially to produce more than they did. And had they been right about that, you know, what would it have looked like? We might not be thinking that the pass offense was as much about everybody eats as much as it was that's kind of the placeholder for, you know, if Coleman had popped off and been like a rookie of the year candidate, then maybe it wouldn't be everybody eats. It'd be, no, this is a Coleman, Shakir, and Cook run this show.
Yeah. If is the way you say it like that, you know, first round pick in Kincaid, second round pick in Coleman, second round pick in James Cook, even.
Yep.
And they just re-signed Shakir, and they trade for Cooper, who they thought would be a big boost for them. It all lines up to, and again, like, you know, you say what you say, you do what you do. Their actions point to them thinking these positions are important. And wanting blue chip level guys. I mean, you spend the first pick of the second round at receiver. That's a sweet spot to get guys that make a big difference. So, you know, Coleman ends up being what, like the sixth or seventh receiver taken in the draft. But still, like that's not a spot to underfund the position. They went for it. And Kincaid, while that has not exactly popped off from a numbers standpoint, I feel like it's worth pointing out. You can either say it's a defensive bean, or bean might be a little, I don't know, defensive makes it sound a little strong here, Joe. What I'm getting at is you have an offense that works. We know that it works, and part of their story about their offense is we don't need really important players, yet the way they acquired them was to treat it like they were all really important pieces.
Right. Right, and when they didn't meet expectation, that's when the guy on a one-year vet minimum contract is the one that's performing. Right, that's when Mac Hollins is getting 50 targets on the season and playing all the snaps is because, well, your guys that you invested in didn't end up working out the way you wanted. I mean, they were still good enough to be on the field. But that's how Mac Hollins gets his, you know, almost 400 yards on the season and 5 touchdowns.
Yep.
Is there was an opportunity for him because the guys that they put investment into, it just wasn't really there. And all this kind of can sound like they had a bad year on offense, which is always the amazing thing, that they set the franchise record for points in a season. But I just, my fear would be that they line up and have similar level results and performances from these guys that we're talking about into next year, when I wonder if you're going to get everything to go the same way. I wonder if you're going to be able to be as clean as you were last year, where you did not turn the ball over at all. Allen didn't throw picks. Cook didn't fumble. The line didn't give up a lot of pressures, and even when they did, Allen got away from it, so you didn't give up sacks. There were no negative plays in this offense at all. And on the line, part of that point has been for 2 years now, that offensive line has stayed completely healthy.
Yeah.
Completely healthy. And the idea that you're going to get all of that to happen year after year, where my line never gets hurt and I never turn the ball over at all, there's probably going to be some, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? They're gonna have
you're
to
looking
adversity.
For you're looking for a regression.
Adversity, really though. Like I feel like they're an offense that hasn't faced a lot of adversity because they've played so clean. Yeah. And I just wonder what happens if, okay, you get a couple injuries. Now what? Or there are a few turnovers. A break, couple breaks don't go your way. You still going to be the level of offense that we just saw?
Maybe. It's tough not to have faith in Allen to run a great offense, and especially the marriage of Allen and Joe Brady. Like that has it's just been really good. I mean, when Allen and Dable were together, it looked like it worked really well. Like they got each other. That's where you know, Dorsey, what's Dorsey's biggest crime and why he gets fired is because the offense just looked tougher. It was still good. It was still good. It was just, it looked harder.
It looked harder for Josh, especially, yes, right? Like, Allen turns the ball over a lot because it seemed like he always felt like I have to make something happen because there's nothing here.
Right. Whether it's the wrong scheme or not having enough of a identity or game plan, like, that's something that they found with Brady was identity. They know who they are. And Allen, throughout the season, I mean, he looked like he was in total command of the offense. So, it's just kind of funny. I'm thinking about Allen, his role, Coleman, what we hope for him. You know, there are plenty of Bills fans and the Bills themselves that kind of like to, they like to act like, and again, like it's just a little bit of like selling who you are. Hey, Josh can make it work with lower profile guys. Yet, the last 2 years, they have been spending their biggest assets to help him and not exactly getting the results. And It's the fact that Kincaid has not done that. It's maybe into year two of Coleman, we'll see. It's that no one has stepped out and popped that has kind of led to this more organic idea of what Brady and Allen are selling, which is it's okay that we spread it around. That is just a function of, well, no one has really jumped into that role yet. And whether it's injury or chemistry or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's you could say chicken or the egg, because why are you in this format? Well, because nobody's popped out. Why has nobody popped out? Well, because you're in this format, and they've definitely spent the capital to do it. So, you know, it's one of the things that would make me, as you say, like no adversity. It's one of the things that would lead me towards somebody really might pop, whether that's, you know, Shakir's kind of already done that, or if it's Samuel making a big difference this year, or if it's...
Could be Palmer, even.
It could be Palmer, or if it's Kincaid finally taking the step he's supposed to take.
Right. Yeah, one of those guys being able to do that then does what? It's less spreading the ball around. And they, again, like part of this is they kind of talk like they would like that. Maybe not Allen talks that way, maybe not Brady. Bean even told everyone in the post-game or post-season press conference that, you know, not to say he was against it or anyway, but he told everyone, like, that was a Josh and Joe Brady thing. Like, everybody eats, that whole mantra was Josh Allen and Joe Brady. Like, that's what those two saw the identity of the offense being. That doesn't necessarily mean that's how Bean sees it, or even McDermott, because how did those two sound after the year? McDermott is talking all about how they need to be better throwing the ball down the field, which is statistically easy to see, by the way. They throw the ball down the field third most in the league and are one of the least efficient teams at it. So that's not very controversial, but that's how McDermott is answering questions after the year about the offense. And what's Bean talking about? We're going through the list here that we just did, and, well, this is why Coleman didn't do as well as we wanted, and this is why Kincaid didn't do as well as we wanted, and this is why Cooper actually was valuable, even though we didn't really see any numbers, and this is what happened to Curtis Samuel. All four of those guys, not meeting expectation, had two of them done it, then, again, like, Allen and Brady's Everybody Eats might have been more... It wouldn't have been to the same degree. It wouldn't have been the same, you know, exact thing. I think we would be talking about the offense differently, and we might be more optimistic about the offense going forward, even though, again, their floor is like the fifth best offense in football. They're going to be somewhere between like 1 and 5, 1 and 6 every year. And for me, it's just figuring out how they get to number one. And going forward, I think you got to have one of these guys pop. 803-0550 is the phone number. CJ in Buffalo is next up. What's up, CJ?
I feel like we're kind of beating around the bush with what our team really is. And I know, and this isn't a down to Brandon Bean. He has a plan. But at one point, I would love for Brandon Bean to go all in on a big-name receiver or a big-name target every year we do the same thing. We fill all the voids before the draft. That way we can draft best player available. But the biggest names we ever picked up was Von Miller. You know how excited we were for Von Miller at the end of his career for the most part? Let's go get somebody like a big name. Myles Garrett was the last name guy we talked about. But like free agent are guaranteed pieces. The draft is a lottery shoot. Like you're hoping something's great. We draft traits and we hope Elam is good. It didn't work out. Cool. But the free agency, you know, if you take them draft picks and trade for somebody that you know is a known commodity or you know exactly what you're getting, why not do it? Why not go for a Sertan, a corner from the Broncos? Not to say they would do it, but just as an example.
When though? When are you asking them to go after a guy like that? In the draft?
No, even if in draft, I would trade for a Hunter. What I'm saying is let's take a chance, put all the chips in and say, okay, look, we're always drafting to be ready each year, every year, and be as balanced as a team as we can. Why can't we be the Bengals? I don't know if it's possible. I'm curious to know why we don't take the heavy shot. I know why he's doing it the way he's doing it now, but I want to take the big shot and win now.
I guess I hear what you're saying, but I think a lot of these ideas are like fairy tale ideas. You know, like going up and getting Travis Hunter. Or like last year, we talked about them going up into the top 10 and getting Roma Dunze, but what did we hear Bean say on Hard Knocks? That I just don't have the
picks.
I
can't afford it.
I don't have the ability to go up there. What would you need to give up? You have one thing in your organization that anybody would say yes to go get Travis Hunter, and it's your quarterback. So good luck. You're not doing that.
Right.
I offer anything else. You want to offer the next two drafts? Maybe you can get that high. But it's just not realistic. The deal you wanted was the one that didn't happen, which was one of these elite pass rushers for like a first-round pick. And they all stayed. Except for Hendrickson, who I guess still hasn't signed 2 days later.
Yeah, we'll see about Hendrickson, right? Like that's he's again elite is how many? How many are in the elite? Five?
Three? Yeah, five or six.
Okay. How about
the Parsons?
Contract?
I would include in that too.
The contract for Danielle Hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah.
35 for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. For Danielle Hunter.
It's an extension. So it's this year. He was under contract just for this year. They added one more year at $35 million.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. 803-0550, our number, 1-888-550-2550. You're on hold. Stick with us. We'll get more calls. We're going to check in with Carl Jones at Channel 4 as well on the Bills and, you know, all this chatter about their draft and that good stuff coming up. So stay tuned. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
This guy's going to play. This guy's going to start. Super comfortable saying this on air. This dude's going to start for a long time in the league. This is not a guy who could be really good if he gets better. I've been doing this for a long time. I don't like comps, but if I gave you comps, they'd be some of the better players in the league. This guy can spin it. I'm a partner at Wilson, and we partnered with the Shrine Bowl this year. So Kyle played in it. We put a chip on the ball. I've been using this technology for years, so we measure the velocity, which is miles per hour, the spin rate, which is RPMs, and the spiral efficiency, which is an algorithm. 100 is a perfect spiral. And we did a throwing session. He's in the 95th percentile of all the NFL quarterbacks we've tested. So we go, okay, he can spin it. And then velocity, he was upper echelon. The other thing is he broke all the ACC passing records.
Sure did.
There's names on that list because I don't think teams see him the way that the media does.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Jordan Palmer on Kyle McCord, Syracuse quarterback, who's in this draft. And his belief that McCord is going to be darn good, which, I mean,
he wouldn't go as far as to give me a name, though.
Oh, the comps?
On the comps, some of the best in the league. That can mean anything. Comps,
the comps for McCord, good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Carl Jones is going to join us in just a moment. The comps on McCord have to be like Eli. Let's bring Carl in here. Carl Jones of Channel 4 in Buffalo, former Syracuse grad as well. Carl, we just played Jordan Palmer talking about Kyle McCord coming in. No doubt he can make all the throws, and he's an incredible passer. My biggest fear would be, like, he can't move. So is there room in the league for an Eli? that might not be the best comp, but if I'm comping McCord anywhere, he's got to be a guy that doesn't move.
Yeah, that wouldn't be any of his strong suits. I know that when you look at his game, even dating back to Ohio State, you'd be like, oh, he can make the throws, he can stand in the pocket, but you're never going to say, hey, I want him extending plays or with the ball in his hands longer than what the play on the whiteboard is scripted out to be.
Yeah,
Lance Zierlein, NFL.com's comparison for him is a Bills quarterback.
Bledsoe?
Nope.
Trent Edwards?
No, these are who I thought you would guess. Trubisky, though, is the
no.
name
okay.
that he named for him.
Oh, whatever. Anyway, Carl, good morning. We didn't bring you on to necessarily talk about Kyle McCord, but hey, whatever. I mean, it's draft season, and you know, it's interesting to see how this all shakes out. You know, Carl, as we get ready for draft season and we dig into it, we played a clip from Keon Coleman earlier. He laid out what the Bills need. You know, a couple defensive linemen, a couple corners, receiver. If there's a spot you're thinking about that maybe you're more bullish on than everybody else is there one you think people are not giving enough attention to that they need in the draft, like first-round pick?
I think the three spots that everyone is looking at, receiver, D-line, corner, I think the proper energy has been given to those spots. I will say, though, that I haven't really buzzed off of the fact that they need some difference makers up front. And obviously signing Joey Bosa is the ultimate. It doesn't get more boom or bust than that. So obviously I think some people's idea on attacking up front maybe has changed a little bit. But in my eyes, it hasn't, just because of how boom or bust of a move it is. So listen, it's not sexy if come in a month where in the late first round, the Bills draft a big boy, and then maybe in the second round they do the same. But I think you take a couple swings in that area to see if you can finally solidify that room and change things around, because that is the one room where I think that's the biggest difference come postseason time.
Is there a position you think is not getting enough attention right now that is a possibility for them in the first two rounds at least?
I wouldn't be a fan of it, but I could see them making something at safety, like not first round. And if the board falls a certain way where I don't see Malachi Starks falling that far, I see teams, they made the mistake with Kyle Hamilton, and they made the same mistake 2 years later with Brian Branch, so I don't see them doing it again. But if, God forbid, teams don't wise up on just taking really good safeties early in the first round, I think you take Malachi Starks and just deal with the consequences of a depth chart later. He might be the only one where I'll be okay with them taking a safety in the first round. But I don't think any of the safeties on the roster have precluded or blocked off any early guy from coming in and competing for that spot like a Malachi Starks. The other guys, like Emory or Xavier Watts, I don't think the value is there. But God forbid that teams pull a Brian Branch or Kyle Hamilton again and just overlook the safety position, I'm going to go call Brandon Bean myself and go run the card up.
Yeah, Emin Worry always seems to be the guy that is talked about as safety because he's a super athlete and he's huge, right? But I don't know. The more I see mocks, you'd have to move up to get him. But that's like the only style I feel like I can even see working where you could convince people or plan on him playing at the beginning of the year as like your, like in a bunch of different ways, right? Like how the Ravens have used Hamilton, big nickel, or certain packages while he's not technically a starter behind Bishop and Rapp.
Yeah, because he's something that the Bills have really never had in this Sean McDermott era, where he's a freak athlete, has some instinct that you can utilize a little bit, while Malachi is more of the jack of all trades, in a good way, though. Like, I'm not saying that he's one of those. I know Bills fans don't like hearing the word versatile because Lord have mercy. Oh my gosh, he can do everything. What is he actually good at? I think Malachi Starks is actually one of those players who is truly good at everything. Emin Worry is a freak. I know a lot of people give him the Derwin cops. Listen, I played against Derwin James in college, and no disrespect to Emin Worry, don't think he's that caliber of player, with all due respect. I think he's a solid player, but once again, safety is more instinctual than anything, and I don't think it's instincts raised to the level to where like I feel comfortable taking the first round pick on, is what I would say.
Channel 4's Carl Jones joining us. You know, as you say that about the instinctiveness and Emin Wario, the thing about him is his RAS score is off the charts. But then last time we talked about him, I looked up Cole Bishop, who is also an elite athlete. And, you know, Carl, year one for Bishop, I mean, maybe it went according to plan. Maybe the Bills are a team that doesn't think a rookie is going to be ready for that spot just yet. Do you think they should feel comfortable just going into the year with Bishop as the idea?
No, but I think that he didn't show anything either way to where you should feel very confident or scared that he should be the day one starter. I think that he showed a couple things on film. I look back at the Patriots game, and obviously the Patriots were – maybe they weren't their backups, but compared to what they'll see in the postseason times, there was a lot of backup quality players on the field, and it wasn't a big game plan. It was more of a vanilla game plan from the Bills' perspective. I still think Bishop did some good things at the end of the year. Now, the Chiefs game was very up and down still. I know he made a couple tackles and missed a couple as well. So the athleticism is clearly there. He made a nice TBU in the Patriots game where I'm like, yep, that's why they drafted him, because no one else on the roster can make that play in terms of the safety position. And then obviously we all know about the Texans game and not being on the same page with Rasul Douglas. So I do think that he showed enough to where you're like, hey, like, we'll give this kid a shot, but not enough to where it was like, all right, like DeMar and Eric Forrest, you guys are permanently second team, and no matter what happens in the offseason, Cole Bishop is entrenched at the top spot.
We're waiting for a Benford extension. The Bills have been busy getting extensions done, and the defensive back market starting to really climb. Stingley got his deal. It was very big. Do you feel like there's, I don't know, any nervousness about waiting any longer, that this Benford dollar amount might hit and Bills fans get some sticker shock? Like, the fact that it's not done yet, probably an indicator that this is a tougher deal than the first three the Bills have done.
Yeah, but I do think the two players on the horizon won't necessarily affect the Benford deal. You'll have Trent McDuffie, who's going to be up soon, and as well as Sauce Gardner. Both of those players have more accolades than Benford, so I don't think that'll change, per se, Benford's deal. But that is two more players from his draft class that will be up for an extension. So I think that kind of changes, like, hey, man, this is now the third player, big money. I feel like I'm a big money player as well. And Benford's that unique case of, yes, in Western New York, he's known as a very good player, but he's never gotten the national accolade. So how does that work in negotiations? I truly don't know. And I'm not his agent, and I'm not in the rooms with them, but you see what J.C. Horn got at 25 per, and I know it's a lot of funny money in that to make it actually look like it's 25 per, even though it's really not. I wonder if you're Benford's camp, you're like, listen, can we reach a 22 where, like, we don't have the Pro Bowl, we don't have the All-Pro behind us, but you know damn well where I'm much better than what Paulson and Debo got from the Giants at 18. Like, I don't want to be near that number. So I think the negotiations are a little tricky, and there's Trimming stuff he's going to get done soon, as well as Sauce Gardner. That may throw a little bit of a wrinkle in the negotiations, but not too much, in my opinion.
You're a Cleveland guy. Do you have any opinion on the stadium fiasco of them trying to move out of downtown to go to the Dome in the suburbs?
Yeah, it's Cleveland. Like, everything about it is just terrible how things are getting done. In terms of Dome or no Dome, I'm team Dome. I'm soft. Anyone who knows me, I stand the weather.
You played at Syracuse. Like,
exactly. When I committed to Syracuse, you know the first thing I thought of was the fact that I get to play 6-7 games a year in a controlled environment. So, like, I didn't care about playing down in Miami or Clemson. I cared about the fact that I didn't have to wear long sleeves in November. All jokes aside, though, the biggest thing I think most Clevelanders feel is moving from downtown to the suburbs. And I know all the political fiasco surrounding that with, hey, more money downtown. They never developed a lakefront. I will say, living in Buffalo, my concerns have eased a little bit because Orchard Park is a suburb, so I've gotten to experience a game day not downtown and not on the lake. But you tell a Clevelander that they haven't seen anything in their lifetime outside of Lake Erie. So
yeah.
That's the part where it's a little tough. And I know Jimmy Haslam saying he's going to build this crazy, you know, apartment complex and all these great stuff surrounding the stadium to make it a good game day experience. But it's nothing like going to the Browns game and the lake is right there and the fresh scent of the dirty lake right there as well.
Carl, what should the Browns do at number two?
Ah, man, it's tough. In my opinion, you take Abdul Carter, and then you come back in the second round and take whatever quarterback you like best. I just don't think Shadur is that much better than a third or fourth, but I do think Abdul Carter is that much better than edge 5-6. That's the way I think about it.
Yeah.
Is Shadur that much better than quarterback 3 or 4? I don't know. Abdul Carter, don't want to call him Michael Parsons, but golly, he was doing some freaky stuff at that.
Yeah, and then, you know, to have Garrett and Carter on the same field, and we'll bring this conversation full circle, second round, Kyle McCord. How about it?
Oh, keep him in orange?
But here's the thing, though. Last time he was in Ohio, it didn't end well.
That's
right. Keep him out of the Ohio bad juju for his sake, because I'm happy for him as a Syracuse fan. And Ohio State fans are happy now considering how their story ended. Yeah. But it's still some bad blood in the waters that I don't think we need to test anytime soon.
Makes sense. Carl Jones, Channel 4. Carl, thanks again.
Well, thank you guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Carl Jones, anchor and reporter, Channel 4, Syracuse alum. Yeah, the Browns. It is funny, like that Browns stadium, it's a fly-through. I have my fun complaining the Bills don't have a fly-through. It's part of the point. The Bills stadium is going to happen, and we don't have a fly-through. You can just be the Haslams and be like, you know what? Look at this thing. Look at this concept.
Yeah.
It's not agreed to. It's not. But look at it. It's very nice. Anyway, all right. 803-0550 to join us. It is day one of the NCAA tournament. You know, day one, finger quotes. The first day where there's a lot of games on, and it's a lot of fun to kind of be a part of it. Jeremy and Joey, give us a ring. Pick of the week coming up, 803-0550 on WGR.
Four out of 19 for the night.
Worry about anybody underneath the basket. Let it go there. But Heinrich and Lee are the two guys.
Heinrich starts inside, goes outside. Heinrich gets it. Heinrich puts up the shot. It's too long.
one, and Syracuse is your national champion.
22 years ago, Joe, and that is in no way pathetic.
22 years?
22 years ago. I mean, not today, but like the tournament 22 years ago.
Yeah. Was that...
You want to know who they beat along the way?
Definitely wasn't HD by then.
No. They beat, in order, Manhattan, Oklahoma State.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, wait. Manhattan. Take it back. I take that back. Manhattan, Auburn, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, Texas, Kansas. I might have switched Auburn and Oklahoma State.
Hmm. And then they won in New Orleans?
Yes, they beat Kansas in New Orleans. They had a monster lead and tried to give it away. And had they successfully given it away, I can't imagine ever recovering. I mean, everybody's got their sports heartbreaks and, you know, huge lead where how could you lose? You're up 17 points.
Yep.
And they nearly, I mean, they had to hold on for dear life. The entire second half was pacing. Anyway, Syracuse, 22 years ago. Just, you know, I'm just hanging on to it. What do you want from me? I'm hanging on for dear life today.
It's all you got anymore.
It's really all I've got in my sports teams ever winning anything, unless I can, you know, include the Giants when I was 12 because I like the Giants. Sorry, Bills fans. I've said that a lot. I've been upfront about that. I've been honest about that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was 11 or whatever. I barely remember it. I do remember it, though. So, yeah, 22 years ago, Syracuse.
Yeah, Syracuse and Giants fan right now isn't really loving life.
No.
I think. Tough times for both.
It's not great.
for a while now, actually, right?
One very quick story. Pick of the week brought to you by Riverfront Auto Sales. My pick of the week is just this story from, there's a report at ProFootballTalk.com. Mike Florio has this, that in talking to Michael McCarthy of frontofficesports.com, there is surprisingly little interest in Aaron Rodgers from media partners. What that means is, hey, would you want to be on TV and be an analyst?
Ah.
And the networks don't.
They don't want it.
No. One unnamed source, quote, he could be a great analyst, but he's insufferable. And another source said he needs an image rehab.
He's insufferable.
Yes. That was a...
You know, like, I could be friends with this guy, but he's insufferable.
He could be a great analyst, but we can't have him on the television.
But he's insufferable. Just could work for any. Like, you know, he would he'd make a great manager, but he's insufferable.
Yep.
Anything.
He says
he'd make a great player, but he's
insufferable. He's in no rush, and the Giants and the Steelers are just going to sit here and like be on hold for him forever, I guess.
Until one of them does something.
That's right.
They could, which they could.
Sign a guy. Yep.
Someone's got to blink.
Yep. Yep. All right, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.